One of the things I've noticed over the years is the appeal of social media. And with social media, the different Christian organizations, parachurch organizations, missionaries and whatnot have a tendency to use a lot of social media to get their message out. And you can send it far and wide with absolutely zero cost, and it's quite helpful. Well, one fall, I was perusing some of the emails and newsletters that come via the internet, and this one organization was offering this deal that was you couldn't refuse. It was a free book if you bought some of their product. Now, I needed some of their product, and as a result, I received the free book. And it was wrapped because it was just before Christmas, so I waited until Christmas to open it because I love books. I read lots of books. Some of them are not all that helpful, but I like good mystery or some good historical fiction or good documentaries, those kinds of books. So I took the wrapping off this book and I opened it up. And here was a book, something like this, maybe a little fancier because it came from a Christian organization, so it had a leather cover on it and that. But I opened the book up, and there was nothing in it. It was a wordless book. And I go, what in the world do I want with a book that has no words in it? I was looking forward to a story or some instruction or some guidance, you know. I wasn't wanting a book that was empty. Well, one of my friends who was there watching me open it, he was a little perturbed with me that I didn't get it, realized that, well, that book there gives you the opportunity to use it for however you want. You know, if you're an artist, you can put sketches in it. If you're just a doodler and you want to just doodle as you listen to the pastor preach, you can do that. You can keep your budget straight in a book that has blank pages. You can do multiple things. Well, oddly enough, this week, I just got another thing from In Touch Ministries, that's Charles Stanley, advertising another wordless book. And he says, use this wordless book to keep a record of God's messages to you and call his blessings for years to come with this note taker's journal. And I thought, well, you know, he's getting right into it too, sending out blank books. You know, must be easy to put your name on a book when you don't have to put anything in it, you know. But the idea of here we are at the beginning of 2024, the opportunity to chart our life experiences over the next weeks, months, and years if we use one of these wordless books. You know, Mark had said about wanting our year 2024 to be better than 2023. Well, how would you know that? You get to 2024. How do you know if it was better or worse? Just from experiences? Or are there things in our life that change over the course of a year? And that's where I think these kind of books are quite handy, because they can help you chart your growth as you make your way, journey through the next weeks and months that fill up 2024. How do you want to grow? What experiences do you want? What things will you learn over 2024. If you're like me, you know, my memory is good. It's just short. And sometimes you need reminding of what you have learned and the things that you've experienced. And did we grow or did you go backwards? Are you moving forwards or are you moving backwards? And that's where this wordless book comes in handy. Because then at the end of 2024, you can read some of the things you wrote down and go, wow, look at where I have come over just a short time, a few months. How God has been with me, how God has led us or led me in a certain area, the things that I struggled with, the things that I've been failing at, but then God has given me victory. We record it in this, and it helps us remember. That's not my phone, is it? Sounds like my phone. But here we are in 2024. How do you want the next few months to impact your life? What journey are you on? And how do you want to experience it? And how do you want the Lord to be involved in the decisions that you make, the steps that you take, and the life that you have? And so that's what I thought Colossians 3 seemed so appropriate to begin here on the first Sunday of 2024. And certainly, it's a challenge for us to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. You know, it's not easy, the steps, the journey, the direction that God wants us to go. Because the world around us is constantly pulling us in many different directions that are opposite and opposed to the direction that God would have us to go. Now, earlier in this book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers there in this young church in Colossae. Now, they believe that Epaphras was the church planter, planted this church, and the Apostle Paul was just an encourager, but he had heard so much about what was going on in this new church. And so there was issues that he wanted to confirm, to encourage, but then there are also some issues that the church needed to be challenged on. And so this book is both and, good and bad, that the church needed to learn. But one of the things, and I think one of the things, if you ever choose to start writing in a wordless book, and you know, at the end of this message, if anyone would like a wordless book, this one is... I'll give this to you to use, but you have to use it, that's all. And not for doodling, okay? You can get your own doodler. But this is for somebody if they'd like it after the service, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. But one of the things that we need to constantly remind us of is the reality of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that they are at the very center of who we are as believers. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, it says in the first few verses, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." Without the sacrificial death of Jesus and his victorious resurrection, we would have no hope. So when we walk in a manner worthy of our relationship to Jesus, it is imperative that we walk with hope in our hearts. But so often, our hope is dashed or confused or just tossed away because we look at the things around us and we wonder, there is no hope. Our life, our situation, circumstances, our society is just hopelessness all around us. And we see that constantly. And we're challenged constantly with us. But then as we come to this passage in Colossians 3, Paul is eager for us to understand the correlation between the physical death, the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and the spiritual realities of that event, that we experience exactly what we believe every single day. That we don't get confused. We don't get disheartened. We don't get disappointed. We don't get pulled away. We recognize that this is ultimately what Jesus has done for us. And we can stand firm in that hope. When we come to faith in Jesus, our old nature, our old self is put to death. It's put away. It's put aside. Just as Jesus died, we died. That old nature has died with him on Calvary. And in the same way, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too have been raised with him. And through faith, we died, and through faith, we've been raised to new life in him. In the previous chapter, chapter 2 of Colossians, and verse 12, it says this. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Well, that's unbelievable to recognize that, to understand it, and to claim it. You know, that's why we have baptisms in the church, to remind us that as we have identified with Christ, we go into the water and under the water, just as Jesus was buried. And then we come up out of the water just as Jesus was resurrected. Doesn't mean we're now sinless. It sure would be nice if that was the case. But the reality is we identify with Christ and understand his death and burial is, it impacts our life because we want to be one with him. And that's the significance of it. That being said, in Colossians 3, Paul's purpose goes beyond just helping us understand our position in Christ. He wants all of us to understand how this impacts the way we live. It changes the way we walk. It affects the things that impact us and how we allow those things to impact us. As those who have a new position and a new reality, we should also have a new focus. A new focus in our position in Christ should change our affections and our desires. And that's why it's so important that the church continues to baptize people who come to the Lord, so that there's a stake in the ground where that person says, this is the point where I chose to identify with my Savior Jesus. But then he also gives us this memorial meal that we're going to participate in. This memorial meal helps us to remember because, you know, you're all like me. You have good memories, but they're short. And we need to be constantly reminded of what Jesus has done for us. So we're going to have communion together right now as we understand the reality of Christ's death, burial and resurrection, and how that impacts our life every moment of every day. So I'm going to ask Aaron and Mark to come to the front, please. And I'm going to read that passage of scripture that Paul gave to the Corinthians in chapter 11. And it says here, for I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Possible through Christ. Nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do, can change what Jesus has already done. And yet, why do we forget it so quickly? Why do we let Satan remind us of our shortcomings? Of the fact that you're more apt to fail in this life than you are to be successful. You know, we get tripped up all the time and then we beat ourselves up. And yet we forget that our salvation is complete, not because we're perfect, not because we never make another mistake, but it makes those mistakes more bearable because it has already forgiven us for it. And we can walk in the power of that day by day, rather than allowing the prince of this world to discourage us and depress us and to disappoint us, when we realize we're just humans saved by grace. And that's what this memorial meal is all about, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to go into this passage in Colossians, and we read these verses in this chapter 3, and we see that we need to have a new perspective as we look at life. That a relationship with Jesus causes us to change how we view things and how we look at the world around us and us being in the center of that world. Because, you know, we all know that we are the center of this huge existence that we live in day by day. Some of us go a little bit too far, thinking we're the most important person, but you know, we'll deal with that as we move forward. But here in this passage, in verse 1, it says, "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." That's the new perspective that we have. It is clear who Paul's audience is. He's addressing those who have received the salvation of Christ, who's been raised to a new life, given a new awareness, a new perspective. With this established, Paul describes a perspective or the focus of those who are in Christ, those who are walking with Jesus. Now, at first glance, it's hard to tell who are Christians and who are not in this world, because Christians are just ordinary men and women, boys and girls. But according to what the Bible tells us and our actual experience, it's confirmed over and over again in our lives, being a Christian means that we are given an extra dimension in this life. There is a hidden resource available to us. There's an invisible reality that we experience, which the world does not see, nor does it understand. Now, this isn't referring to Jesus being just up in heaven or lost in space somewhere. Rather, it refers to what Paul has taken or talked about earlier, where Christ being in you is our hope and glory. And this extra dimension that we have, that we're given, is not being far removed in the reaches of space. Rather, it's right here in our hearts. Right here in our heart. An untouchable, invisible dimension in us. This is the glory of the Christian life. And it's a secret of the power, the joy, and the courage that we have because of Jesus. We all have it. You don't have your, you have it as much as I have it. And if you are in a relationship with Jesus, that's part of your life. Now, if you haven't discovered that, if you don't experience it, then you haven't yet begun to live as you should live, and as the scriptures teach us to live. This is what puts a smile on our face, even though we may be experiencing incredible trouble. We can still smile through it. There was one fellow I heard speak one time, and he says, a Christian, when he meets another Christian, you should meet this way. Everything's good. Everything's good because of Jesus. Everything's good. Now, that's a new perspective we're given. Now, it's important then, we need to check our hearts to understand what it is we're pursuing. And you look at verse 2 and it says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have, well, that's verse 3, so we'll leave that. So it's, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And so when we understand that we need to look to heaven, the perspective is to look upward, to seek the things, to evaluate our affections, to understand what it is we long for, what we are pursuing, what we're desiring. Paul says for us to look above, the place where Jesus is, or more correctly, the position he holds. Christ holds a position of all rule and authority. Earlier, it talks about the immeasurable greatness of his power. Ephesians 1:20-23 tells us that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the earth, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills it all. Kind of reminds us of that song that we sang, doesn't it? The reality of the position of Jesus and why we need to focus on him. To seek the things that are above is a call to set our hearts and orient our thinking in light of what's eternal through Jesus. To pursue those eternal things is the purpose and the value of walking with God. And then in verse 2, it talks about how we check our mind. So what are we focused on? What is it we're seeking in this life? How do we seek the things that are above? Well, verse 2 tells us we begin by setting our minds on eternal things rather than temporal things. As we set our minds on eternal things, our pursuits and desires and ambitions will follow. And that's the challenge in this life, to be able to think eternally but live in a world that is totally opposite to that. And so what are some eternal things that have eternal value? Well, first of all is our walk with the Lord. How is that growing? How are we experiencing Jesus in a greater way? How are we walking closer to him today than we did last week or last year or whenever? How is it that our life is changing as a result of what we have committed ourselves to in believing that Jesus is our Lord? It's very easy to say the words, but it's another thing to live those words. And so Paul says, set your mind on things above, those things that are eternal. Are you pursuing a life that is growing in Jesus? Are you spending time in his word, allowing the word to penetrate our hearts in a way that changes our life, changes our outlook? Are we walking in a way that is causing people around us to see that, hey, there's something different about you, and come and ask you questions so that you can point them to Jesus? You know, one of the things Paul talks about over and over again is that our life should have the image of Christ being portrayed. They should see less and less of Wayne and more of Jesus. And how are those people that you associate with in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in the hockey arena, or wherever you do your leisure time, how do they see Jesus in a greater way day by day? Are they seeing something different in you? Or are they seeing the same in them as in you? That's a challenge, and that's where we need to focus. We need to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are in this world. You know, it's so frustrating, certainly, to see the issues that the government has caused for our society and our communities. But it's even more depressing to see how people have reacted. And you see it all around us, how people have turned so negative in this world about our government. Now, I'm certainly not a Trudeau follower, but he still warrants my prayer, because the scriptures tell me to pray for those who are in authority over us. But how many spend their time around the water cooler at work, getting caught up in the conversation and the issues that are in this world, the inflation, the price of food, the gas, and we can spend all day talking about the reality of what it's like to live in this world. And that gets us nowhere, because our minds are on the world rather than on things above. And even though we still live in this, and yeah, we're affected by it, but it shouldn't cause us to lose our hope that Jesus is the one who's in charge of this world, not the government, even though they think that they're God sometimes. But the reality is, we need to understand that if we're going to set our minds, it says right at the beginning, seek the things that are above, then we need to move to verse 2 and see that means we put in our thinking eternal matters rather than the temporal matters. How much time do you spend praying for your friends that don't know Jesus yet? How many times have you asked them, come join me at church or an event, come and be a part of the Christian community that I find the love and support and encouragement, so that they too can see Jesus in all of us rather than just in you? You see, the opportunity today is there. The doors are wide open, whether we realize it or not, because people are desperately seeking some answers and some hope, because we're living in a hopeless world. But we have that hope in Jesus. And that's why we move from the temporal to the eternal, and we realize that that person that works beside me, that neighbor of mine, I'm praying desperately for them, and they just don't know Jesus yet. But Jesus will get to them, because the Spirit of God has an incredible way of working and moving, even in spite of us. But if we don't care about them, if we just are totally blank when it comes to their spiritual needs, then God certainly can't use us to bring them in. That's why I love fishing. You know, I could spend all day, well, I do spend all day, fishing. And I don't always have success, but I love to fish. And that's all it is that I'm doing with my neighbors, with those I work with. I'm fishing. You know, I got a guy on Thursday that came up to me. He's one of the few men that are PSWs in the long-term care home. And he said, Wayne, will you pray for me? I'm having surgery on Monday. I said, of course I will. And he's off for a month. And he said, I'll give you my phone number. If you're ever in Hamilton and you want to have a coffee, I'll give you my phone number and we can go out and have a coffee. Wow, I just caught something. And that's where we need to focus who we are, what we're all about, and what we're doing in this life. Because God has given each of you who claim the name of Jesus, the hope of glory. And our world desperately needs to know that there is some hope in this world. And the hope is not because I catch a few fish here and there. The hope is because what Jesus has done for me. And he has forgiven me. And that's where the next few verses tell us our new position. Our present position in verse 3 tells us that for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's our present position now. We've been united with him. He is stuck to us like we've got Velcro on us. That's how close he is with us day by day. The Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. He is there for us in every situation. In every opportunity, he is there to guide us and strengthen us and to pick us up when we fall. But it says we're united with him in death and in his resurrection. We are, what the scriptures say, we are in him. Because our union with him, Christ lives in us and Christ lives through us. We can grapple, I think we can understand how Christ lives in us, but we struggle with that, how he lives through us. Because so many of us are just so tied with fear that somebody's not going to like us because we challenge their thinking. You know, I just get so frustrated when people say to me, you don't talk to me about religion, money, and there's another one. What is the other one?
Politics,
that's right, yeah. The three things that we are most definely impacted by. We not to talk to one another about that? How foolish. How foolish to give in to that. Because that's the devil's tool that shuts us down. If we don't talk about that, then we don't have a way to share the love of Jesus and the hope that he gives us in those matters. And that's the new position. Galatians 2:20 says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what happens with salvation. You know, Christ lives in us. And we can't divorce ourselves from that. And we need to understand the power of his presence in my life 24/7. Every day, all day, he is with us. He never will abandon us. We have died with him, and now our lives are his. Therefore, everything we do and say should be impacted by our identity in him. And that makes us change our outlook on life. It's not the way it used to be before we knew Jesus. It changes. And if it hasn't changed, then you have to ask yourself, well, is Jesus truly Lord of your life? Then it goes on to talk about our future position. We've got a present position for today and every day, but there's something coming in the future. And verse 4 tells us that when Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Even though we have been given a new position in Christ, we are still constrained by the flesh. We can't remove ourselves until he calls us home. But this is only temporary. One day, the Bible tells us, Jesus is coming again. Amen? Hallelujah. That is something I am so looking forward to when Christ returns. It may be in my life, it may not be in my life, but that's what I look forward to. The fact that he's going to return and we're going to join him. We're going to join him in glory. We're going to experience our eternal reward. We're going to change in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to follow him to heaven for all eternity. Paul is saying here, we are to continually remember who we are now, who we once were, but no longer are, and who we will be when he returns for us. So those are the three things we must remember. Not just once in a while, but every day we are to remind ourselves, because the deceiver of this world is taking those thoughts away. He doesn't want us to have those thoughts, because we walk differently, we think differently, we allow the world to impact us differently, we change. And the devil will have none of that, and so he will cause us to doubt. But we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves, just as we do this communion, and that's why these wordless books are helpful, to remind us that my life is changing. And I'm letting go of the old, and I'm grabbing on to the new, because I want my life to reflect Jesus. Because if people only see Wayne, that's not going to help them one iota. Yeah, they might get a friend. Yeah, we might have an odd coffee together. But my life will not be able to impact another life if all they see is Wayne. I want that fellow that wants me to pray for him to see Jesus. To see Jesus, not Wayne. To know that I prayed to somebody that will give him peace of mind as he undergoes surgery on Monday. You know, I don't understand. I retired. You know, I left the church. I said I had enough after 40 plus years. You know, that's enough of that sentence. But now he's got me working in long-term care home. And you know, there isn't a day go by where I don't have an opportunity to share Jesus with those dear residents who are asking a heck of a lot of questions, because they know this is the last stop before eternity. And I get it with the residents, but now the staff is asking questions too. And I just, Lord, thank you. Thank you that they're seeing a peek of Jesus in my life. I wish and I want more, but that's yet to come as I continue to walk with Jesus day by day. Now, when we live in light of who we are in Christ, when we set our minds on things above, it keeps us from loving the world too much. And in the process of loving the world too much, we often create idols and become committed to things that simply let us down. When we live in light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, we will be guarded against despair and disappointment and depression when the pressures of life become hard to bear. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're going to have tribulation. But in that tribulation, we will experience peace. Why? Because we live in light of who Christ is. When we live in the light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, we will have strength when the world oppresses us and oppresses what we believe. And let me tell you, they're there. They will do that constantly, continually. But because of who we are in Christ, he will give us the strength to deal with it in a godly way. Hebrews 12:2 and 3 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus bore the burden of our sins upon his back. He took it all. So don't give up. Don't become weary. Don't toss in the towel. Because we are in Christ, he gives us that strength that we need. When we live in light of who we are in Christ and set our minds on things above, we will be more ready and more willing to tell others of the hope that we have. And that's why we have to focus on things above. That's why we have to place our mind and our hearts and our eyes and everything else to Jesus. And he will help us in dealing with those that desperately need to experience Jesus in the wonderful way that we have, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Now, you can probably fill a book, a wordless book of things that the Lord will teach us in just those few verses. I'm going to leave this up here on the pulpit, and anyone who wants it can come and have it and use it and allow the Spirit of God to teach us and remind us of how he's walking with us day by day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us this resource, this sense of provision, this encouragement and comfort as we live day by day in a world that is openly hostile to you. Help us to allow Jesus to shine clearly through us in the way we respond to the disappointments in life, to the way that we deal with our humanness, our failures. Help us to be able to put a smile on our face even when the circumstances around us are so troubling. And may our friends, our family, those we work with, those we play with, may they see Jesus clearer and clearer as we walk with you day by day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.